When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. Happy Football Friday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. Oh, yeah. Music. Football.
Grr.
Yeah.
What the hell, honestly? Yeah. Excuse my language, kids. What the heck?
No,
that's right.
I think you're still
heck.
I think you're still in that sweet spot where they're not in the car yet. You know what I mean?
They're all in their diabetic near comas.
That's
from last night and everything. Yeah, they're all just in an extreme sugar plunge right now.
Yeah, man.
All the chickens have come home to roost in terms of things that we'd worried about with this football team. Hey, why are you guys so concerned? The team's 6-2, man. Why are you worried about the offensive line not being able to protect your quarterback's internal organs? Why are you worried about Texans defense letting up big chunk plays? Why are you worried about stupid, idiotic things happening? It was all there. Boy, what a glorious Thursday night football game.
Yeah.
It's everything you want out of Thursday night football. There's weirdness. Neither team really showing up ready to play in the first quarter.
No.
And then really in the first half on the part of the Jets. And then the Texans not being able to capitalize on any of the Jets' incompetence.
Yeah, that's the thing. As we welcome you in on a Football Friday, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. You've been warned. I would normally warn you that after a primetime game that looked like that, I've been up since I was up till 1:30, really like 2 o'clock once I got home. So I'm operating on very little sleep. Normally Seth is operating on a little more sleep than I am. And then I got a text at about 12:30 last night about the game from Seth. And I said, oh, Seth is up awfully late tonight. He's going to be in a chipper mood tomorrow, just like me.
I've already called my kids all the wrong names this morning, and I only have one kid. That's the thing. It was the second and third child screwing up their names. That was when I knew I was really screwed up. I did some breathing exercises. I was ready to go to sleep last night, and then I remembered. It had to occur to me twice.
Yeah.
Because maybe I kept stuffing it back out down into my huge satchel of denials. But the Texans don't even get credit for benching Kenyon Green.
No.
C.J. Stroud took out Kenyon Green.
C.J. Stroud's butt took out Kenyon Green's shoulder. Yeah.
Kenyon Green managed to not allow a sack on the quarterback, but he did end up getting himself sacked last night.
Yeah.
By allowing the chain of events to lead to C.J. Stroud dislocating Kenyon Green. So the Texans may have left Kenyon Green out there all night, just allowing Quinn and Williams to do anything and everything to anybody on their team.
Yeah.
Turned the entire Texans offense into a damn nickel brothel.
Yeah. Yeah, let's
like it's like it's 18-22.
Let's lay it out for you. The Texans, if you're just getting up and you have managed to avoid the results of last night's games, perhaps you were trick-or-treating and then wanted to spend time eating candy with your kids and you passed out and said, ah, they're up 7-0 at the half. I don't need to worry about that. The Texans are going to bury them in the second half. That's what they – Texans haven't scored a touchdown in the second half in three games, just so you know. 21-13, Jets, the final score last night. And to me, like the big storyline is just so obvious right now. It's the offensive line again. The offensive line again was – it was the same issue that it's been for the last 2 weeks before. It's been an issue all season long, but the Green Bay game – was when it went from like DEFCON 3 to like okay, wow, this is bad. And yeah. So I remember 2 weeks ago after the Green Bay game, you and I sitting here on this show and saying, man, the offensive line, they got to take a good look in the mirror. And we were told throughout that week, hey, the good news, man, it's all fixable. These are all things, these are mental errors, these are assignments. Yeah. It's a lot of communication errors and things like that. It has gotten worse each week since then. And this is truly the first crisis of the DeMeco Ryans era. This is the first thing that is getting people angry at DeMeco Ryans over it not getting.
You know, you're 100% right. That's the first time I've gotten this many mentions about DeMeco.
People are angry at DeMeco for the answers in the press conferences. They're angry at him for the lack of change. It's been this way since Green Bay. You've trotted the same thing, coached by the same people, running the same plays, and thank God for Joe Mixon, because he's the only thing that's making this whole operation look competent right now. Yeah. But you've done the same thing 3 weeks in a row, and you're going to get CJ. This is the big thing. You're going to get CJ Stroud. A, you're going to get CJ Stroud killed by the bye week, if not sooner. And B, and this is the big thing, it is affecting CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud is throwing like a nervous quarterback right now.
And there's times where he hangs onto the ball too long, but then there's so many times where, okay, he gets rid of the ball quickly because he has to because he doesn't trust the protection, and then you can't because he doesn't feel like he can wait for things to develop downfield. Plus, he doesn't have the receivers that can really do much downfield other than Tank Dell. That was the other big shocking revelation I had, which was super obvious, but it didn't really hit me until afterwards. I go into this game thinking, okay, they got to spread the ball around, right? You're down, and they did a great job getting the ball to Tank Dell, 126 yards, 50 of that on one strike. So good. They struck downfield. They had three humans with receptions last night. They spread the ball around. Okay, Tank Dell, Robert Woods, and Dalton Schultz, that's it. And then there's nobody else to go to, really.
Yeah.
I guess I'd give credit to John Metchie for drawing the penalty on Sauce Gardner on that one. He was open on that one. But that's not even an indictment of those guys necessarily. It's just that, again, there didn't seem to be answers for the blitz. They seemed unaware at times that there was a blitz. CJ just doesn't have a steady diet of quick stuff over the middle or anything else to counteract that. The team hasn't been good at setting up screens, so that kind of becomes an issue in and of itself.
Sure.
And it doesn't sometimes – I don't mean to blame everything on the blitz. Sometimes the offensive lineman like Laremy Tunsil himself, the great one, the vaunted one, it just gets destroyed for a sack.
Yeah. Here's the thing. There was a team on the other side of the football last night that was dealing with their quarterback – getting chased around the entire first half. Yeah. Their name is the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers was abysmal in the first half of this game. The first half, Aaron Rodgers was the worst quarterback in this game. Now, second half, Aaron Rodgers showed up, and that'll be the big story today around football is, do the Jets have life? And that's what the Texans have done. They have injected life into Aaron Rodgers and a New York football team, and it's inexcusable. But the Jets last night, Seth, were horrible offensively, especially throwing the football in the first half. Aaron Rodgers was getting hit. He was getting hurried. He got sacked twice by DeNico Autry. What did they do the second half? They ran a lot of quick stuff. They got the ball out of his hands fast. You know, they ran the ball a little bit better, but they weren't running the ball to the extent that they were just steamrolling the Texans. They made adjustments and did something different. The Texans suck in the second half of football games.
They're just atrocious.
They're atrocious.
They're one of the worst offenses in the league in the second half. They fall apart.
Yeah.
And it's not so what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
The defense, man, this is one thing we've been harping on. Okay, another recurring theme that came home to roost. It's that, hey, from the very beginning of preseason, I was nervous about Jalen Petrie being a slot corner. I'm cool with him playing nickel linebacker. That's awesome. He's great in that regard. But they just, there's times where when they go up against teams that have genuinely good receiving cores and guys like Davante Adams or Garrett Wilson, if you expect Jalen Petrie to cover guys, we've said this from training camp on.
Right.
If you expect Jalen Petrie to cover guys like Davante Adams in man one-on-one, good luck with that. And that's what you had with the death blow last night.
Yep.
They need another cornerback on the team that can play man very, very soon.
Yes.
They got a bunch of safeties out there trying to do it now.
Yeah, no doubt. Nick's got work to do between now and Tuesday afternoon. I mean, there's only right now, that's where you're going to find something is on the trade market.
I thought you said Diggs. I'm like, I don't think he's coming back, and definitely not a DB, Sean.
No.
That would be a miracle recovery in so many ways. Nick has to go to
Nick
work.
Nick Caserio, okay. The general manager of the football team. Yeah, a lot of texts rolling in, man. A lot of you were up early, probably still up from last night. I get it. Text message to the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. A lot of CJ on here. CJ's panicking, missing throws. He's not playing well. What's it going to take to make change? CJ Stroud getting stretchered off the field. CJ is missing throws and he's panicking, and it's because of the offensive line. Like, I mean, ultimately, it's CJ making these throws, but if we're looking for symptoms, we've never seen this version of CJ Stroud. Not even when CJ was in his first two games as a rookie, when the Texans started out 0-2, did we see the version of CJ Stroud that we've seen, I'll say, in two of the last three games. I thought he was excellent against Indianapolis, considering the amount of pressure that he was getting. Last night, I mean, John Metchie gets himself open at the goal line or inside the 5-yard line, and CJ just sails it behind him. You know, like, this is bad. This is a crisis. You got Detroit coming up in the next game. I ain't chalking up Dallas, even though they stink right now. You're going on the road for I keep hearing about how the road is why it's just such a discombobulated operation right now.
We're fine when we're at home. It's like just they make us play half our games on the road.
They some nerve.
It's unfair.
The
schedulers are out to get us, Sean.
Okay, and I'll even entertain Minnesota was loud.
Oh, yeah.
Green Bay was loud. The fans last night were chanting sell the team at halftime. They were chanting sell the team. At halftime, was that too loud? Were there chance of sell the team too loud for you to
They had
to
bags on their heads, too. It was further muted by a thin layer of brown paper, which, by the way, in New York, you got to pay a fee to get paper bags at the grocery store.
Yeah, you know how much?
So, like, that's commitment by those Jets fans to show their disgust and their disdain.
Yep.
What did we say before the game? Just don't be the team that makes the Jets look like their depth chart. Because the Jets have not been playing up to their depth chart.
No.
They got some big names and some good players on there. And lo and behold, second half comes around, and there you go.
That's them.
Woo!
Yep.
Sauce Gardner, superstar.
Superstar.
Oh, Davante Adams, woo, still got it.
Trade of the year.
Garrett Wilson, best receiver in the league.
One-handed.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson's like, I'll catch two touchdowns, but only one-handed. They're both going to be one-handed. All right, we're off and running, as you can tell, on a football Friday. The mood ain't good, and you've been warned. If the mood ain't good for you, come commiserate with us for the next few hours.
I'm still very much feeling the effects of all the things I took to make myself go to sleep last night, too. So,
did it work? How much did you
get? You guys
get?
Start complaining about me slurring my words or something. I'm coming after
I'm
you.
I'm here for
all
it.
All right?
Hey, let's hear from D'Amico Ryans on these issues. You heard from Seth and I in the open. We didn't even get to D'Amico. Is D'Amico sufficiently angry now over these issues?
Are we lazy if we talk about the offensive line being an issue?
Right.
I don't know if that, I don't know if the team, how they feel about the offensive line.
We'll get to that coming up next in the next segment here. We'll hear from D'Amico.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lions.
Payne and Pendergast is driven by West Point Lincoln of Sugarland. On the Southwest Freeway, exit Kirkwood and take the first U-turn at West Airport under the giant American flag. It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Third down and 11 at the New York 25-yard line. Stroud, shotgun. Daria Gunbowale to his left. Mechie motions out wide right. CJ calls for the ball. Here's the blitz. Stroud under pressure. CJ working around. He's going to lose yardage back to the 36 as he is sacked and had nowhere to go. Sherwood brings them down. And again, a long sack in a third down situation. The fifth sack of the game for the Jets. And this pushes the field goal attempt way deep back to the 54-yard range.
Kaimi would end up making that field goal. Kaimi was not good last night either. That was one of four sacks on third down in the game last night for the Jets on CJ Stroud. Eight total in the game. I don't know what the next-gen stats pressure rate was by the end of the game. I just know that by the fourth quarter, it was the second worst behind only the Colts game last week and just ahead of the Green Bay game 2 weeks before that in terms of the amount of pressure CJ has faced in a game.
Right. I was on Greg Rosenthal from the NFL Network. I was on his podcast last night, and he had all the advanced stats, and he was reeling them off, and I told him, hey, shut up, Greg.
I was going to say.
Quit it. Right. Just quit it, all right? But one of them was the pressure rate. I think it settled in somewhere around 50% or so, which is an improvement over last week's 59% pressure rate.
Yeah, it was high 50s last week.
Just only one out of every two times is CJ fearing for probably, I don't know, getting concussed, brained, whatever.
Yeah.
Man,
it was bad. Eight sacks. Let's get to DeMeco. Eight sacks, 11 QB hits. DeMeco Ryans, I didn't get to watch the press conference last night because we were getting ready to do the postgame. We obviously listened to it and play the whole thing. I can just say the sound of DeMeco, he sounded a little angrier. I saw some people saying he looks angry in the press conference. He should be angry. He should have been angry 3 weeks ago about this. Here's DeMeco Ryans, very first question out of the shoot. Offensive line, what do you think?
I'm not sure what's happening up front. We'll watch the film and see what it is, but obviously we give up eight sacks and, you know, every drop back or pass situation, it looks like, you know, we're in scramble mode, so it's just not good enough when we can't operate on time, and we got to get that fixed.
That's not an exaggeration. Every drop back has degrees of slightly unacceptable clutter to incredibly unacceptable clutter. The incredibly unacceptable are the ones where CJ gets yanked down by his head or his torso or gets twisted, has guys landing on him, things like that.
The thing that worries me really is that CJ is also, compared to a lot of other young quarterbacks, he has a good feel for the pocket. He has a good feel for pressure. He doesn't panic.
Yeah.
You know, there's times every week, and there are times last night where he made some really nice throws while a lot of other young quarterbacks would have been bailing the hell out of there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, oh, he needs to be quicker to flee the pocket or anything at all. I think he's got the appropriate temperament and feel for being able to hold on to the ball under pressure and keep his eyes downfield. Remember early in the game when he shook off Reddick? And they show the close-up. His eyes never dropped at all. He had Reddick on him, and he just kept his eyes downfield. Later in the game, Kirk Herbstreit pointed it out. And so that's not the issue. I mean, it's very much a real, okay, this guy's under constant harassment, and even with a pretty good feel for how to deal with Flack in the backfield, it's just too much and too often. He's just got no expectation of protection back there.
Yep. Here's another one from DeMeco Ryans. How sustainable are things with this pressure that CJ's under?
As many times you get sacked that many times is not good enough, right? Don't want our quarterback getting hit. As many hits as we took is not good enough, and you know we got to make things adjust. We got to adjust. We got to change things moving forward.
Okay, change. Well, okay, we got to change things moving forward. That was the first time I can remember DeMeco Ryans saying we got to change things moving forward. They had one change thrust upon them with C.J. Stroud landing on Kenyon Green's shoulder. So they were forced to put Kendrick Green in. At this point, honestly, like if you're thinking about a change, because they're not firing the offensive line. Like they're stuck with these guys. And I know they can make small changes, a trade maybe. But like the tackles for this team are going to be Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard. Shaq Mason is going to start at right guard. Who knows? Maybe one of the changes is they put Juice Scruggs back at left guard and they try something different at center. I doubt it, but maybe that's a change. Chris Strouser, to me, is on notice right now. And even if they feel like he's doing a good job, they're at a stage with the offensive line where there may be a sacrificial lamb in this whole thing. There may need to be something that wakes up the rest of that room. And I don't know that it will with this group, if you want to know the truth. I don't know what the move is to get these guys to look in the mirror and say, we stink right now. Titus Howard was interviewed in the locker room after the game, and he's spewing this crap about we were the better team out there last night.
We let it slip away. That you classify that as a slip?
Dude, they took 7 of their own points off the board because Malachi Corley didn't hold on to the football crossing the goal line.
They
roughed a punter to keep a drive alive. They gave John Weeks a high knee to the face to keep a drive alive, and you guys couldn't capitalize on any of it. That's like, what are you talking about? You're the better team. The second half of that game last night, you got outscored 21 to 6 in the second half of the game last night.
They don't score touchdowns in the second half. Like what about
team.
The performance from last week, say, makes you feel like, oh yeah, you're markedly better than the Jets. Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure you are. You're completely and totally better than the Jets. No,
right.
You didn't score a damn touchdown in the second half.
Dude.
Every time the Packers had the ball, they drove the field and scored a touchdown in the second half.
There was
no part of letting that one slip away.
No,
you got beat down in the second half.
Yep.
You got destroyed in the second half. Like, letting one slip away, that's like saying the Yankees let one slip away in the World Series. No, the Yankees got destroyed in the World Series.
Yeah.
You did not let one slip away. You got destroyed last night. You had a nice first half, and that's it. It wasn't that great.
Yeah.
It was 7-0.
Yeah.
Should have been 7-7.
Yeah.
You know, like, The Texans earlier lost a game in which they were ahead in the turnover margin, 3-0. Against Packers, right?
They were
plus three in the turnover margin,
right.
Still managed to lose the game.
Yep.
You were in a game against the New York Jets, a 2-6 football team. You had one of their running backs give you an early Christmas present by just dropping the football on the 3-centimeter line willingly and just letting God's, football gods be good. It rolled out to give you a touchback, and you did nothing with that. No, this was not one that just slipped away.
Nope.
You got destroyed by a 2-6 football team.
I think the scariest thing to me, if I'm a Texan fan right now, CJ's health. And CJ's, he did the press conference afterwards. He won't be on the injury list, I don't think, this week. I mean, if he's a tough kid. He keeps getting scooped up off the mat so many times in these games, man. Like, it's just, that part's not sustainable. But I think, so that's a concern, the health of C.J. Stroud. To me, the biggest concern short term for the Lions game next week is that a lot of the magic that C.J. Stroud had through these first, and has had through these first, the first season and a half in the NFL, where he gets flushed and he throws the ball, and it just seems to find somebody. Or he's got to make a throw into a window this big, and he's able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's at the very least been neutralized for the time being, it seems like, by these fronts that they're facing the last few games. What does D'Amico Ryans think about the pressure on C.J. Stroud and the fact that he is uncharacteristically missing throws?
Just like anyone, guys, I feel like anytime you're getting pressure that much or you're getting hit, it's going to affect any quarterback, right? That's always the game plan defensively, is try to fluster the quarterback, and that's what they did today.
All right.
Yeah, they flustered him. How many sacks? Was it 7
8
on the night? Eight on the, excuse me, eight. Yeah, I'm eight. Sorry, Jets. I apologize.
Yeah, don't cheat the Jets.
I didn't mean to discredit your the one that you somehow, according to the starting right tackle, just slipped out of their
so
grasp.
So close. Yeah, so close.
Tytus Howard is like a guy after a street fight who's laying on the ground with his head up around his ankle saying, "Hey, you better watch out. Hey, you got lucky that time, buddy. It was a cheap shot.
You're not going to land five punches in a row again. I promise you that. Let's hear from CJ on the pressure that he's been facing and the issues up front.
Yeah, first I just want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this opportunity, you know, to play on Thursday night, on Halloween, you know. And, you know, I often, you know, it's hard, you know, to just sit here right now and think about what happened because you didn't watch film yet. But, of course, you know, it's embarrassing. And... you know, to come out here on a primetime game and, you know, get embarrassed like that is never fun. And, you know, I believe, you know, we have to be better in a lot of areas. You know, and that starts with me. You know, I think there's plays I got to make, throws I got to make. You know, times I got to sit in the pocket and just trust my guys. You know, so I really point the finger at me and realize, you know, I got to be better as a football player. And, you know, if we want to win, this is not the recipe for it. We got to learn how to dominate. And stop learning how to, you know, just go with the flow and play in the fourth quarter. Like, we should be able to, you know, play good in the first half and then roll into the second. I think we got to have a better mindset as a whole.
All right.
Trust your guys as I'm watching. I was watching on the replay as CJ's talking about he's got to know to trust his guys.
Yeah. What's happening?
I'm watching. They were lined up in pistol. The ball snaps. Laramie Tunsil gets flagged for a false start, not before, I think it was Juice Scruggs on that one, got driven back into the lap of C.J. Stroud on almost got sacked on, I think, what was going to be a run play.
Yeah,
it was, no, you can't trust those guys. Don't trust those guys, C.J.
No.
Listen, you just got off the bus in the big city for the first time in your life. Just don't go signing a record contract to the first guy that comes around. Laramie Tunsil's waving a contract in his hand. You're going to be a star, CJ. You're going to be a star.
They're
but first,
leeches.
I want you to meet somebody.
They're leeches, CJ. Yeah.
Just... how do you feel about compromising your morals, huh?
CJ gets off the bus. Got a bindle over his shoulder. Mm-hmm. The big city.
Hayseed out of his mouth.
Can't wait to attack things here.
I'm just ready to trust everybody.
Oh, my God.
Who's ready for some trust? I want to see them do, like, imagine C.J. Stroud doing the trust game with the offensive line. Wow. First attempt. There you go. Oh, Laramie, you're going to catch him, right? Oh, yeah. Bet. And C.J. closes his eyes with a beatific smile on his face, arms stretched out to the side, eyes as wide as the Sphinx. And he goes to fall, and oops, Laramie was on the Insta. Laramie had to check his mentions.
Yep.
CJ's head bounces off the concrete in the meeting room.
Someone tweeted some offensive line power rankings out that he did not like. And I got to take...
oh, no.
Sorry, CJ.
Oh, no.
CJ. Priorities.
Yeah, so, like, that's when CJ knew he was screwed in the trust fall.
Yeah.
Just as he started his descent, he heard, ding. And like, oh, no. Laramie's got to check that. Oh, no.
Dude, poor Kamari Lazeter. Man, I'm watching the TV, and here it's on SportsCenter right now. This Garrett Wilson catch, the second one-handed catch, not the first one-handed catch that he made over the middle that Jalen Petrie decided to jump the route on. And off to the races was Garrett Wilson. No, the second one, the one that will for sure be on You Got Mossed on Monday Night Football, this thing's getting shown over and over again. They just did a thing on SportsCenter where they compared it to Michael Jordan taking off from the free throw line in the 86 slam dunk contest.
Dude. That's going to be up there for, yeah. Yeah, and it's all just the money shot is as Kamari is trying to break it up. I mean, it was a hell of a catch.
Yeah.
And he was in by a shin.
Yeah.
That's where, damn. God, the clarity is so good. The picture quality is so good on Amazon. I don't know if it just what they do differently, but you could tell. As soon as I saw the first replay, I'm like, oh crap, this might be a shin situation.
Yeah. All right, let's get to headlines. Texans lose If you can't tell, the Texans lost last. You can't tell from the first two segments of the show.
Yeah, don't worry. No, it'd be, and you might ask, was it bad? No, according to your starting right tackle, they just let it slip away.
Well, the only bad thing
over the course of 30 minutes.
Right. The only bad thing was they should have won. Yeah.
They let it slip away despite having a lead of what, Sean?
Seven at the half.
Yeah. We had him on the ropes.
Oh, my God. At halftime,
we're up by one score at the half.
How many touchdowns did you score in the second half, Titus? Yeah, close your eyes. What do you see? Nothing. That's how many you scored. 21-13, Texans lose to the Jets. We'll dig into that game. There was a little bit of good news for one Houston Texan yesterday. We'll get to that. Rockets played last night, and a whole lot more. We'll get into headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
Here's Rodgers stepping up to the line, the 43-yard line of Houston. He takes a knee, and it's over at the Meadowlands. The Houston Texans lose to the New York Jets 21-13, and they drop to 6-3 with Detroit up next in a mammoth game at NRG Stadium. Heartbreak at the Meadowlands for the Houston Texans, who just don't have it tonight. To beat the Jets, and Aaron Rodgers throwing three touchdown passes, two of them to Garrett Wilson, one-handed grabs both, including one that will live for a long time.
We're good. I don't need the play-by-play on everything. They lost. They lost. And I don't know that heartbreak is the right way, because they weren't good last night. It would be heartbreak if Aaron Rodgers threw a Hail Mary at the end of the game, one of his patented Hail Marys, and you lost the game you deserve to lose. They deserve to lose that game last night, but they didn't. Don't listen to Titus Howard. They were not the better team last night. They did not deserve to win that football game last night. And the fact that it took place on national TV, when you got two more on national TV coming up, that's the thing, man. Like, you're a bit of a punchline today. The Jets have been a punchline all season long, and you're now the team that has injected life into the Aaron Rodgers show. That's the part to me. There's things that frustrate me. That part angers me and annoys me. they're the ones to give the oxygen mask to Aaron Rodgers here.
Aaron Rodgers has 30 yards passing in the first half, 35 yards passing in the first half, lowest of a quarterback with 10 or more throws this season, at least, or was it over a longer duration of that? And then comes out in the second half and looks every bit vintage Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Three long, sustained scoring touchdown drives. That's all. The Jets only had the ball three times in the second half, and they scored touchdowns on every single one of them. The Texans offense scored no touchdowns, just as they have in each of the last three games.
Yeah.
So in the last six quarters of second half football, the Texans haven't managed to score a single measly touchdown.
11 plays, 70 yards, burned up nearly 6 minutes of clock to score a touchdown to tie the game at 7. Texans kick a field goal to go up 10-7, and then the Jets proceed to go 12 plays, 70 yards, eat up almost 6.5 minutes to go up 14-10. And then you get the drive where the Texans made a field goal, but there was a penalty, so they said, oh, well, give us the ball back. We'll happily go try to score a touchdown, and it ends in a missed field goal. And then the Jets get the ball back from there, and they go 8 plays, 80 yards in 4 minutes, and that ends with the Devontae Adams touchdown over the top against Jalen Petrie, and that was it. The only other possession, technically, that the Jets had in the second half was Aaron Rodgers kneeling down at the end of the game. That was it. That was the only other one that shows up.
Yeah.
The three possessions that they were actually trying to score, they scored touchdowns on all three of them.
Oh, okay. So that counts. Yeah, that's right.
I'm not correcting you. I just think
kneel
it's
down
funny.
Yeah. No, you're correct. You're going to have to correct me a bunch of times today, Sean. So, look, I don't want to be affected by people's press conference comments or interview comments necessarily. By virtue of Josina Anderson's report that the Texans were shopping Kenyon Green around a couple weeks ago, they know and recognize and understand that there's an issue and a problem. I understand saying positive things in the press conference. I don't. Nick saying that it was a lazy narrative that the offensive line is an issue, I don't understand or get that. But you've been trying to trade away Kenyon Green, reportedly. It would make sense that you were trying to trade him away. It would also make sense that there wasn't interest, right, because that was also part of the report. And yet, you keep rolling him out there to start at left guard. And yes. I know the theories behind that. I understand them, that, well, they want to try to see if they can get value for him. Okay. How exactly do you expect that to happen? No. Through his play? Like, what about rolling out? Even if that was the theory. Okay, if you want to try to get value for him, pretend he's got an ankle injury or something. Don't keep rolling him out there and getting destroyed by Quinnen Williams.
No.
And then the Texans don't even get credit for benching Kenyon Green because they didn't do it. Kenyon Green got injured.
Yep.
By way of him allowing pressure on C.J. Stroud, and then C.J. Stroud falling and dislocating his shoulder.
You can't mess around with guys in positions where C.J. Stroud's physical well-being is a direct correlation to their performance. You know what I mean? Like, if you're doing it with a wide receiver, or you're doing it someone on the defensive side of the ball, then whatever. If that's indeed, you know, if indeed you're showcasing somebody. But yeah, here's D'Amico Ryans last night. The most frustrating part about the loss.
The frustrating part about it is, you know, we, you know, to play well in the first half and not come out the second half and not tackle the proper way, not stopping the run, right? That's, and also when it comes to, it's just everything about it, not protecting, getting a quarterback hit, that's just not good football. So the frustrating part about this is, you know, we didn't come out and we didn't execute well enough to win the game. We didn't make we didn't make plays in the second half to win the game. So that's frustrating, but that's the NFL. Like, if you want to win, your playmakers have to step up and make plays, and that's what we have to see moving forward.
All right. So, I mean, now Joe Mixon was making plays in the first half, and then second half he only carried the ball 7 times. He did throw a pass in the second half. That was interesting. We'll get to that.
That was just bound for glory, I could tell immediately.
Oh, yeah,
there was
right
no
away.
Part of me, my butthole clinched up tighter than a Venus flytrap on that one.
Oh, yeah. Like this one.
At least they're acknowledging that we've got an issue now. Last night, somebody tried to lure me into one of those stupid sports arguments where there can be only one problem. Because I said, well, hey, I would really love Nico Collins to come back. And they said, well, that's not the problem. The offensive line's the problem.
Yeah.
There are multiple problems on this team right now. One of them, I'm not going to act like Nico Collins coming back couldn't be a huge boost. This is the problem. I can fix the absence of Nico Collins simply by having Nico Collins back. And that'll be better. The wide receivers will be better immediately. I have no idea if they can fix this offensive line.
Correct.
I don't know if the guys that are out on the field can do it. I don't know if Jarrett Patterson's going to be an answer. I don't know if you can trade for a guy and how he'll play if he comes in. And I don't know if they've got the coaching to fix him. So I have zero clue, but at the very least, if Nico Collins comes back healthy, then you've got something to make the options easier for C.J. Stroud.
Yep.
It becomes a lot less hard with Nico Collins out on the field.
Will Anderson named AFC Defensive Player of the Month for the month of October. Unfortunately, the celebration was cut short by Will Anderson Jr. getting his ankle rolled up in the game last night. I guess I take some solace, Seth, in the fact that Will Anderson was looking like he was trying to come back. He came back into the game for a play or two and then went right back out. He only took 8 snaps on the entire evening, so he didn't come back in after trying to go.
Oh, my gosh. Was that early?
Did you see when he tried to come back in the play where he came back in, he's lined up on the left side there, on the right side of the offensive line, left side of the formation for the Texans? His legs were shaking. It's like if you go back and watch that play, like his lower legs are like trembling. Yeah, like he could
not just like Will Anderson anti-energy.
No,
shaking.
No. I mean, they were shaking for some reason. I don't normally see that with Will Anderson. And then he came right back out. So he continued to try to workshop some things on the sideline there during the game, which leaves me hopeful that he's available for this Detroit game coming up.
Got to a point where I was like, okay, you're either you're testing it, I can see, but at some point make a decision and stop testing it because you need to start recovering.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not right now. You're just doing more damage to your sprained ankle if you're not going back in. Please, get him inside with that foot elevated ASAP.
Yep. Congrats to Will on AFC Defensive Player of the Month. Well deserved. It bums me out that we couldn't see the full game of him and Danielle Hunter out there together? Because Danico Autry started doing some things last night, too. We'll get to that in the next segment. Rockets beat the Mavericks 108-102. I hear Jalen Green hit a big three. I watched none of that game because we were doing Texan stuff last night. Bob Costas retiring from baseball play-by-play. Depending on how you feel about Bob Costas, maybe that's your good news for the day, Houston sports fans. Yeah, Jordan's pumping his fist in there in the control room.
The Youngs.
yeah, Jordan's half our age. He hates Bob Costas. All right, so there you go. Those are your headlines for today. All right, we head into the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, it's a lot more fun when they win and we do this, but we will. We will relive some of the highlights and many lowlights from last night through the voice of Mark Vandermeer. The big plays, the big moments from last night's loss to the New York Jets. If you missed it, stick around. We've got you. We'll get you all up to speed in about 10 or 15 minutes worth of audio, and that's coming up next.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.